Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
I talk about whatever's on your mind. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me remotely, it's...
Mark Edge, coming to you from Florida.
Hello, Mark. You are loud and proud, as we like to say.
Terribly sorry.
No, it's okay. I have the ability to adjust things at my fingertips. In case you didn't know that.
I can see it from here.
Oh, you can, actually. And, in fact, those of you who want to see, for some reason, and, you know, Mark and I both have faces for radio, if you will, you can watch the video over at watch.freetalklive.com if you so choose. We are expecting Peakless Mountaineer. However, Mark being in Florida is sort of laughing at us all in the Northeast.
Or even, yeah, I hear your weather's really nice right now.
Or even north. And, like, my response to that is the biggest hurdle that freedom-minded people have to overcome is snow. like to make the movement happen, to get people to come to New Hampshire to, like, you know, rally for more freedom, at least in one state out of 50. You know, like for whatever reason. And it's like, I'm telling you, we got dumped on today. Like, more than a foot of snow. Ooh. And, like, yeah, seriously, like, overnight, right? And I was up late last night because I was doing things. And, like, even late last night, 2 in the morning, whatever, I looked out. And I'm like, it's just a dusting. It'll be fine, right? I woke up at, I don't know, 10 or something this morning. And, like, oh, well over a foot of snow, right? Now, I own a snowblower, right? And the joke, of course, is what did the snowman say that made him pull? Why did the snowman pull down his pants? It's because he saw the snowblower coming down the driveway.
Indeed.
But, like, my snowblower decided not to work today, right? I think I gummed up the carburetor. I probably didn't, like, you know, store it appropriately, or it's been too long since I changed the gas. It was kind of a mild snow winter here in New Hampshire, for the most part. So anyway, I go to fire it up. It's like, no, screw you, Captain. I'm not going to fire it. So me and my shovel became friends again after some years of being, you know, not acquainted, right? Like, and it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't, I got some exercise. Oh, darn, you know. Like, around here we have plows and, like, you know, that kind of a thing. Society has decided, it, albeit government-funded, that, like, you know, plows are a thing, and they're necessary to keep the wheels of commerce rolling or whatever, right? So, you know, the plows are rolling, the de-icers are de-icing, and, it, like, I, in any other place that I've lived, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. In any other place that doesn't regularly have winter that I've lived, i.e. Seattle, Washington, in Seattle, they freak out, man. If you get, like, an inch of snow, it's the snowpocalypse. That's their word for every year.
Wasn't snow falling on cedars written about the Seattle area?
I'm not familiar with that publication.
Okay, it won some award back 30 years ago.
Okay.
Snow falling on cedars.
I was in Seattle I moved there in 96, so I think it was either that year or the next year. Or maybe it was 98, I'm not sure, but one of those early or late 90s years where they had record snowfall. They got like a foot or something like that. And I remember the worst thing that happened out there was there was one of these tandem buses. That's where it's like a regular city bus that is like has this like accordion kind of thing. And then it's got like another half bus behind it. Like one of them like slid down like a hill, and there's some pretty good video footage of that that keeps getting repeated every time Seattle gets snow. And then the other thing was there are many boat marinas in the Seattle area, and like the marina roofs covering these boats, supposedly protecting them from things like rain and snow, were not strong enough to withstand the record amount of snowfall. And so I remember seeing footage of, like, these marina roofs collapsing on top of $1 million, $2 million yachts, stuff like that, right? You know, so, like, people losing their boats, basically, is what I'm getting at. But that was, like, the worst of it, right? And, like, I grew up in Wisconsin, so I'm not unfamiliar with the snow protocol, right? I'm not unfamiliar with salting the roads, all that kind of stuff. And I get out to Seattle, and everybody's freaking out in the snow. I remember I had to go to a job interview the first year that I moved there, 96. And I drove a front-wheel drive 1985 Chevy Citation up this giant hill by just counter-steering back and forth. It took me, I don't know, it should have taken like a minute to get up this hill. It took me 8 minutes to get up this hill. But, like, I did it because I know how to drive in snow, and apparently nobody else did. I made it from what's known as West Seattle into downtown Seattle to this office building that, you know, I just assumed would be open. But it was not. I was the only person to show up. I showed up for my interview. I was early, if not on time, right? If anything, I was, you know, 15 minutes early to this thing. And I walk up to the door, and, like, it's locked. There's a sign that's like, due to the snow, we're closed today. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And so the next day, I give a call to this place. It was one of these, we'll call it a temp service, right? It was one of these contracting, you know, type of entities where they, like, you know, are looking for people for specific jobs or whatever. And so I call them, and I'm like, hey, you know, I was there yesterday at the appointed time. In fact, I was early. You can check your security cameras if you want. And no one else was there. You know, can we reschedule this thing? And they're like, oh, no, no, no. We've got you down as a no-show. And I'm like, go FCC yourself, right? You know, like, I'm not doing any business with you. Good luck on your future endeavors. And I went and, like, immediately drove over to some other we'll call it a temp service or a agency, if you will, to find employment in my chosen field. But yeah, like they were willing to screw me over. But like I was the one who like showed up and no one else did.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
Yeah. So that's how Seattle is. But like there are way too many people who claim that they love freedom but are way too afraid of snow. They're like, oh, I would totally come for the freedom in New Hampshire if it wasn't for the snow. And it's like, well, then you have a misplaced sense of I don't even know, like freedom or duty or like what you're willing to, like if you're not willing to sacrifice, you know, one season out of the year for the prospect of more freedom in your lifetime inside of this, you know, organization known as the United States of America because of snow, then I question whether or not you're really freedom-oriented in the first place.
Well, this is what I would say about that, is that I think that New Hampshire's right for a certain type of person, the kind of person who wants to, you know, fight for more liberty to save America kind of idea.
Okay.
And that New Hampshire is going to have to get used to, and it doesn't want to do this. The activists in New Hampshire are probably more patriotic than those kooks in Texas.
I mean, I'll give you that.
The people in Texas just love Texas, but the activists in New Hampshire, there's just nothing else. They're like, I hate driving in Massachusetts at all. You know, like they just hate being there. I spent quite a bit of time in the last couple of months in Honduras and saw Prospera. Yeah. You can see the website at prospera.hn and Morazan, and the website is morazan.city.
Yep.
I wouldn't recommend Morazan City to any American. You would have to be a kook for liberty to go there. But I think it's worth a tour if you're into that sort of thing.
Sure.
It is a city that is designed for factory workers that make, you know, your underclothes right there in Honduras. And rent is like $150 per month.
Sweet.
It's very cheap. However, it's a libertarian community, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it's not made for folks from the United States, to my mind. You know, I don't think there's any reason not to go, but I wouldn't go gallivanting around Chaloma. Morazan City is inside Chaloma, Honduras.
We all know you're a gallivanter, so, you know.
Yeah. I would not gallivant around Honduras or Chaloma, Honduras at night. But on the island of Roatan is another ZA. This is a special economic zone that you could live in.
And right. Somebody asked us, I think, a week ago. They're like, do you know what a SEZ is? And I'm like, a special economic zone? And they're like, yeah, how'd you know that? And I'm like, Mark Edge.
Right. So you go to these special, in this special economic zone, Prospera. It is designed for Westerners, mm-hmm. and it is has this beautiful condominium they're putting up. Somewhere around May, maybe 1st of June, they expect to open up this condominium. I've recently been in a finished unit, or at least largely finished unit.
Okay.
If I walked into this unit, I would say, I can live here now.
Okay.
I don't know if the power was turned on, but I was in the unit during the daytime. It looked finished. Not all the units are, but you could pretty soon you'll be able to live there, at which point New Hampshire loses its designation as sort of the freest place in the world that Westerners want to live.
Yeah, I mean, like
Prospera gets that.
I'm probably being semantic or something here, but like, yep. I've never thought of New Hampshire as the freest place in the world. I've just thought of it as a place where freedom-oriented individuals are getting together to discuss what to do about freedom. Like, how do we increase freedom? And, like, there's been, like, you as one of the co-founders of Free Talk Live, you and Ian Freeman haven't necessarily seen eye to eye on New Hampshire versus other places or whatever. Whereas I think the right approach, at least for me anyway, is that there's room for both. And by even both, I mean all. Like, when I go to, I didn't have a chance to go to Liberty Forum because, well, I was doing Free Talk Live. I know you were there. I know Bonnie went. I know Gardner Goldsmith, our Friday night guy, was there. I don't know if any of the other folks were there, if Ernie was there or whatever. But, like, whether it's Liberty Forum or Porkfest, like, these are the incubators of future freedom, in my opinion. This is where people get together who love and enjoy freedom individually or with their businesses or both, you know, whatever it is. They have philosophies that surround liberty. They get together and discuss things or, like, catch up and, like, hey, how are you doing over here? You're doing this over there? Oh, yeah, okay, that's great, you know. Oh, yeah, we're doing this thing over here, and here's our new thing, and, like, here's a business card, whatever it is. It's a networking event as far as I'm concerned, both Liberty Forum and Porkfest, and even Forkfest, for that matter, which precedes the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Like, to me, there's room for all explorations of freedom. And so in my heart, you know, I love the fact that Ian Freeman is so adamant about, no, New Hampshire is where it's at. This is where the Free State Project is. This is where, you know, we've gotten, you know, thousands of people to move already. And this is where the nucleus of the freedom movement is going to be. And also there's Mark Edge now, who was part of that. And, like, now you've gone, as I say, gallivanting around planet Earth trying to find other places that perhaps are more free on an individual basis than New Hampshire. And, like, in my mind, there's room for all of this. There's room for what New Hampshire is doing. There's room for what Mark Edge is doing. There's room for what what's the name of the place?
Prospera?
No. I'm thinking of overseas, a little piece of land they took over, and it's...
Oh, Liberland.
Liberland, yeah, there's room for that. There's room for all of these things, all of these ideas. In fact, like, the idea of freedom should be spread out, and it should be global. There should be other people, other organizations getting themselves involved wherever they are, wherever they want to call home in the... you know, forwarding of freedom, the advancement of liberty. Like, all of these people. Like, what's the guy, James Corbett, right? He lives in Japan. But he's one of the biggest freedom proponents that I've ever, like, listened to. You know? So, like, like, in my mind, there is room for everybody as long as you are on the quest for more human freedom.
And I largely agree with what you say. I think that New Hampshire's best for people who... are a little concerned about moving out of the United States. Now, I've got to say, I don't entirely understand, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only giving my advice here. You know, the United States has its sort of feel to it. It's becoming more and more homogenized, sadly.
Yeah.
I prefer it. I prefer the idea that, you know, the Northeast is different than the Southeast and, you know, those sorts of things. But whatever the case may be, I think that Prospera would be more for people who want to live free, and New Hampshire's more for people who want to save America. And
interesting,
you know, New Hampshire, you're going to have to fight. As soon as Prospera has that first open condominium, which should be June, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess New Hampshire will no longer be the sort of freest place you can move to and live as a Westerner. In which case, then New Hampshire's going to have to fight for every little bit more of freedom that it can get. And I think that's a good thing.
Oh, my gosh. Competition in a marketplace? Are you kidding me? Like, of course it's a good thing.
Yep. It's a great thing. So, essentially, that's what the idea is. And I think that a lot of people don't understand that freedom is boring. That a lot of people want to be upset about politics and, you know, those sorts of things. And if that's what you want, then, you know, you can, as a libertarian, New Hampshire gives you something to do, you know.
You want to argue with people? Yeah, come to New Hampshire.
It gives us something to talk about on Free Talk Live.
That's hilarious. And true, like, I'm not saying it's not true, but, like, the reason it's hilarious is because there's, you know, an element of truth, of course, to what you're saying. And so, like, I mean, to be honest, and I've told other co-hosts and you know, friends that I've made since I've moved to New Hampshire in, has it been 5 years, 2019?
Yeah. Seems like it might be, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Half a decade ago, that, like, New Hampshire wasn't the only place that I considered moving to when I considered moving, but it was just a place that, like, Free Talk Live was here, the Free State Project was here, there was a large libertarian community here already, and I thought to myself, if I move to one of these other places, right, Mexico or Chile or, you know, look, I had a list of places, right, five, six places on my list. Like, if I go to one of these other places first, I'm going to regret not coming to New Hampshire first. And so I came here. And, well, next thing you know, I'm on this show, and 5 years go by.
Right. You own some property. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, like, you know. And like, I'm in a, I don't know, like, amongst the liberty people, I feel like, even, like, everybody in the liberty community in New Hampshire is a unique individual. One of the things I love about the people that I've met is that, like, man, these people are unique and quirky and have, you know, individual things about them that make them different from other people, and, like, the variety of personalities and, you know, even philosophies are just so vast that I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is the real melting pot, or at least as far as I'm concerned, right? America, when I was going to school, right, was like, oh, we're the melting pot of society, as I grew up in, like, basically a white suburban neighborhood, right? You know, and I'm like, well, I don't really see much of a melting pot around me, you know. But as I traveled and got to know the United States better, I was like, oh yeah, there really is like vast differences in cultures and in all that kind of thing, depending on where you go. And so like I get here and I'm like, oh, it's even more stark. That contrast is just beyond anything I've ever experienced in my life. And so that's what I love about having come here and been here for 5 years now, is that I have met so many unique individuals that, like, I mean, I'm into things that they don't know about, but they're into things that I don't know about. And so we all have so much to learn from each other regarding our own lives, our own experiences, and that kind of thing, and how we got to the philosophies of freedom. That's the part that I'm enjoying the most about being here. And that includes you, Mark, by the way.
Thank you. Well, I think that New Hampshire is great. I have been a resident of New Hampshire, sort of again. I went to Saipan for, I don't know how to describe it, but for one tax year, essentially. And it was really a 2-month stay, but COVID happened and that kind of affected, you know, the tax situation. So I filed my taxes there.
Weren't you unable to leave because of COVID or something? They were like locked down somehow or whatever.
So the reason that I left was because the governor at the time was looking to lock down the entire island and stop flights on and off. And that sounded like Alcatraz to me.
And Mark's like, so I've got to get some flotation devices. I got to start spooning out this concrete wall over here.
I didn't leave the island, basically, for 2 months. But as soon as the guy talks about stopping flights, I'm on the next thing smoking out of there.
Right.
And I left on the third to last flight off of the island. And I think flights were suspended for somewhere around 2 months. Not so bad. And then when they returned, for like a year and a half, you had to spend your time in a hotel, spend a week in a hotel room, essentially, in quarantine.
Yeah.
And I didn't consider that very desirable either. And I just kind of lost my desire to return to the island. I had other projects that came up and, you know, that was that. So
I mean, you did a pretty good job about bragging about that particular area and how
I think it's pretty cool.
And how you thought it was, you know, the freest area
in the United States.
In the United States.
No, I think it's freer than New Hampshire. And I think I can make a good argument for that. It's got libertarians care about certain things, right? So it's got legalized gambling. weed doesn't, it's got legal weed. The prostitution's ignored. No sales tax. No property tax. There's an 80% discount on income tax. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
But flights there are not cheap.
Coming up, I do want to talk about how in the United States of America, you could lose your $400,000 home over a $1,600 tax bill.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. ISIS claiming responsibility for a massive terrorist attack at a concert hall near Moscow. 5 gunmen shooting and killing at least 60 people, more than 145 others injured in the attack. Disturbing video posted online showing the 5 gunmen in military uniforms shooting at civilians with automatic weapons as other people are screaming and running for cover. White House National Security spokesman John Kirby telling reporters,
"There is no indication at this time that Ukrainians were involved in in the shooting.
Now, the Russian rock band called Picnic was about to take to the stage to start playing at the sold-out show. The five terrorists also throwing explosives in the building, which started a massive fire. Russian media says none of the venue's security guards had guns and may be among those who were killed. The U.S. Embassy in Moscow had warned Russian authorities of a possible terrorist attack 2 weeks ago. Laura Winters, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. You, the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Telephone number, if you would like to join us on tonight's program, is 603-283-6160. If you feel like drinking a beverage, that's because Mark Edge has just taken a sip of whatever tastiness he's... I can't tell what that is. The screen's too small for me.
It's a LaCroix.
LaCroix?
You don't know because you don't buy it.
No, I like LaCroix is actually super popular on the West Coast. And so is Bubbly, B-U-B-L-Y.
Yeah.
This is these seltzer waters that... I'm not paid to say this, but I have been indulging in something called Delta. I believe Delta Bevs or DeltaBeverages.com. This is... Delta 9 hemp derived seltzer, right? So it's just like the LaCroix, but it's got weed in it, man, right? So it and they like put some stevia in it to like give it some sugar.
Make it
flavor.
Tolerable.
Well, no, I actually liked it better without the stevia.
Okay,
but it's got weed, so I'm just drinking it anyway, right? And you can get them shipped to I think almost every state. I think there might be. Two, so I think they shipped to 48 states, and so I've been enjoying that instead of something like LaCroix or Bubbly. I still enjoy those, but what I found, Mark, there's a brand called Liquid Death.
Yeah, of water, right?
So they make, the white cans are just regular water, but the black cans are sparkling water.
Okay.
So just like what you're drinking there, but without any of the artificial... or natural flavorings, depending on how you want to look at it. What I like about the black cans is that it's carbonated, very much carbonated. And the reason I have always loved carbonated beverages, whether it's soda pop or beer, is because it gives good belch. I love belching. Like, I know this sounds weird, but like, I enjoy a good belch. Me and my one of my brothers growing up, and I say one of my because I had several sets of parents and foster parents and all that kind of stuff, we would have belching contests, right? And so this particular brother that I'm thinking of would drink Mountain Dew in order to, like, have the contest. Really? But I would drink Coca-Cola products, whatever it was. Didn't matter, because Coca-Cola, far more carbonated their beverage.
Really?
Yeah, like, that was the big difference in, like, the taste test, right? The Pepsi Challenge, the Coke Challenge, right? All, whatever those taste tests were back in the 80s, was all about the carbonation. And so I would win the contest based on the fact that there was more bubbles in the carbonation, and if I chugged the same amount of liquid per volume, I would get a longer and more pronounced belch than my brother would. So, yeah.
He just couldn't learn, could he?
Well, yeah, he was stuck. He was drinking, like, the Mountain Dew
and Pepsi. Can I have to drink the Mountain Dew?
But I'm drinking, like, the Mellow Yellow and the Coca-Cola. So, anyway. Before we go on, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? Hell yeah. You can live your life on Dash with bitrefill.com, where you can buy gift cards from big retailers, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Thanks to the Dash Dow for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. All right, so before we went to break, I talked about how you could lose your $400,000 home over a $1,600 tax bill. And that sounds weird to most people because they're like, yeah, maybe my home is only worth $300,000. How does one go about losing your house over $1,600?
Sounds like sounds like they should be sending some letters or something. You can't take somebody's house over $1,600, right?
Oh, but they can. And by they, I mean the government, of course. Despite a 2022 Supreme Court ruling, people are losing their property over tax bills that amount to a fraction of their home value and the built-up equity. Mark, are you in a place where you have a door to close or something? I hear background noise that, okay. I'm not sure what's going on there. This from, where is it from? The Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H, Epoch, Tucson, Arizona. Horses taunt Christine Searle the importance of being fair, intelligent, and innately honest creatures. Horses apparently know deceit when they see it, and Christine wishes they could teach that principle to the state of Arizona. The 70-year-old horse trainer and Arizona native is on the verge of losing her life savings over an unpaid $1,607.68 property tax bill. Quote, I owed them money, and that's what they should get, the money I owe them, Miss Searle told the Epoch Times. I don't think they should have the right to take all of it. And, Mark, clearly you agree. I agree. Most of our listeners are thinking to themselves, what the heck? $1,600 and they're going to take her house? Arizona is one of the almost dozen states that allow creditors to keep all the proceeds from sales of homes foreclosed due to unpaid taxes, known as tax lien sales, according to the Pacific Legal Foundation.
Yeah, that's crazy. If you owe $1,600 and they sell your house at an auction, now, first off, I wouldn't sell my house at an auction because I don't feel like I get the right price. But
right.
Nonetheless.
Let's just say you get fair market price.
If they force this situation, right, like you owe the tax bill, it's been like 10 years or something, and you know, like the only way they're going to get their money is by selling the house. If they finally take it to auction, then they keep all the money from the auction,
right.
And you only owed $1,600, whatever that amount is. Say it's $100,000 more, could be more, could be less. It really depends on where it is. That's just robbery.
I mean, like, libertarians, of course, are very familiar with the phrase, taxation is theft. This is theft of a whole different degree.
Yep.
This goes back to, I remember watching, I think it was Aaron Russo doing a feature film about, I think it was called Freedom to Fascism in the, I don't know, late 80s, early 90s, something like that.
Oh, I think that movie was premiered in the early aughts.
Okay, well, whatever. I remember watching it only because, like, Aaron Russo isn't the most svelte man, or wasn't.
Oh, no, he's not.
At the time. But yet he was wearing, like, a skin-tight, like, Elvis-looking suit for this movie. And so it makes it, like the presentation is, the content is awesome. But, like, you're looking at it, you're like, why is this, like, obviously, like, middle-aged, overweight guy wearing a skin-tight suit on television? And, like, we still have no answer for that.
2006.
Okay, very well.
I just remember where I saw it, so.
A 2022 U.S. Supreme Court case out of Minnesota that we talked about here on Free Talk Live previously offers some hope to property owners in these specific situations. We're talking about things like, what do they call it, civil asset forfeiture, right, is generally the terminology used for when government takes your land, right? But if only a similar case is brought in their state concerning Minnesota. In the 2022 case, the justices ruled that Minnesota's practice of keeping all of the proceeds of a tax sale constitutes an illegal seizure of property. This makes sense to most people, right? Like, oh, I've got a $400,000 house. Oh, you know, there's some taxes that haven't been paid, $1,600 in this case. You know, what must I do to resolve this? Oh, if I pay the $1,600, we're good, right? No, not according to many other state laws.
Right, this should absolutely be outlawed. I don't care if it's – I don't – you know, I'm no lawyer. I'm no Supreme Court justice. I don't know which organization, whether it's the feds or each individual state, should do it. But this is outright insane to let a municipality benefit by selling a house for an unpaid tax bill.
For a minute unpaid tax bill. Right.
Right? Well, like, what if it was $1?
Right.
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 So
this
all they're going to do is it all it does is incentivize them to find the people out of power, make sure that they don't pay a tax bill. You know, whoops, looks like there's a clerical error here and you didn't pay a dollar. And it's now gone past the 3 or 5 years, whatever it is.
Right.
The line is, and now we get to sell your house. Come on, people. Like, I don't know what this is, but this is crap.
Under their current laws, 10 states and the District of Columbia have zero means of returning the excess proceeds of a home sale, what Mountain States Legal Foundation lawyers representing Mrs. Searle call home equity theft. The states include Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, and South Dakota. Miss Searle hopes that her case will be the one to set things right in Arizona. So this is happening in, one-fifth of the states in the United States of America where if you owe some quantity of if the government says, pay us some money or get off your land or else, right? Like, if it's a minute amount, like in this case, $1,600, they don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about your family. They don't care about how much you've spent to get the property, to acquire the loan, how much time and effort you've put in to, like, work your job or otherwise derive income to pay the mortgage to afford this home. They don't care about any of that. You owe $1,600. We're taking your house. We're putting it up for sale. And we're keeping the rest of the proceeds. By the way, Peakless Mountaineer has joined us. Welcome.
Good to be here.
Hey, all right, I pressed the right button. Sweet.
Especially good to be not on the side of the road.
We did a whole, you know, half of a segment on the Nor'easter. And
it is an absolute FCCing nightmare. When I approached Keene, it having gotten worse and worse and worse, I started actively contemplating, okay, how bad could it physically be possible for the weather to be when I got there? It's like, okay, well, I mean, if they manage to have access to, say, a newly untapped oil reservoir that lightning then lit on fire, I mean, we're still not Sharknado territory, but that's kind of the sort of weather I was expecting once I got here.
Yeah. The good news is it's all supposed to be done by the time the show's over.
Ah.
So, if you consider that good.
You know, I kind of feel like I got all of my winter driving in just this this drive.
For those of you in the north and the northeast, welcome to what we call second winter. So we had fake spring just like a week ago, and that was, it was nice, right? The sun was out, it was 55, 60 degrees for a couple of 2-3 days or something like that. And everybody's like, oh, spring's here, I better start planting my garden. And I'm like, no. This is fake spring. We've had this before. And, like, second winter's coming. This and here
is,
it is.
This is literally why they ask the groundhog if there's a shadow. Is, hey, is the weather good? Oh, it's good. Oh, that sucks, because that means that this winter's going to be awful.
Yeah.
And longer.
Just to bring you, Peakless, up to speed, we're talking about this bit from the Epoch Times, or Epoch Times. You could lose a $400,000 home over a $1,600 tax bill. There is a lady, Miss Searle, out of Arizona, who apparently is losing her $400,000 home because of an unpaid $1,607.68 tax bill.
Naturally. They don't want you to own property.
Naturally.
Like, no.
Well, you actually don't own property, right?
If there you look is that.
At it, if you look at it in the proper financial context, I own some property here in New Hampshire. Mark and I were talking about how I've been here for, I guess, 5 years now. Like, well, when did that happen? Apparently 5 years ago. But, like, even if I pay off my mortgage, I still have to pay rent to the state.
Right.
In the form of tax, right?
Yeah, now, you didn't really own your property. You just switched landlords.
Well, they've always kind of been the sub-landlord, right? In the background.
Your landlord wasn't the landlord. He was just your landlord. And now your landlord is the state itself.
Right. And so if I pay off the mortgage and now I am responsible for paying the quote-unquote tax bill, in New Hampshire they send you this twice a year. So
or as I call it, rent.
I call it theft, but, you know, whatever. Extortion, whatever you want to call it.
You got to be careful with this stuff, Peakless, because if you call taxes, property taxes, rent, then you realize the government owns all the property. And if the government owns all the property, then taxation isn't theft. Because you're a renter and you agree to it.
So there's owning de facto.
Show me
and
the
lease. Owning de jure. So there's rightful owners and there's effective owners. They are the effective owners.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They have no right to anything.
They're
that
not
they
rightful, but
claim.
They are
the effective owners.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you will pay. I mean, you could pay your rent to only rightful owners, and then the effective owners will put you in jail.
They will.
Right.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not just rent, you know, just not in the sense of only, but in the sense of justice. It's not a just rent. It's not a moral or voluntary rent.
That's the point. The point is that it's not voluntary. Can you point to a place or a piece of paper or an agreement, even verbal, like is there a recording of me getting together with some New Hampshire representative going, hey, you're going to buy this piece of property, and you agree to pay us rent even after you've paid off your mortgage?
No.
That doesn't exist. No. I've looked through my paperwork, and that particular item does not exist.
That's not written in English. It's written in legalese, and I don't think any of us speaks that.
Okay. All right.
But okay, so here's the essential problem, though. So most people, including most libertarians and even most voluntarists, believe that property rights come down to your ability to defend that property.
Sure.
And if that is the case, then the rightful owners of that property are the state, because they are capable of defending it. You are not.
If on that's the other that's the might makes right philosophy,
it
right?
It sure right. is, Mark. It sure is, and it is what most people believe. And if that's the case, then they have every right to tax you. If, on the other hand, property comes not from the ability to force that on others, which is fundamentally what defense is,
mm-hmm.
is the ability to force this set of rules on others and them not force any set of rules on you. Now, if it comes not from that, but from I mixed my labor with nature at some point, and other people mixed their labor with nature at some point, and then we traded and gifted until we reached this point where this is the rightful owner of this, that, and the other, well, then they have no right to tax. No government has any right to tax anyone.
You're getting into some very interesting philosophical discussions about property. Like, on one hand, from a person who had never owned property, and by owned I mean like I don't even own the property that I have because I got to pay rent to the state, so whatever. But like as a person who had never even delved into this construct that we have here in the United States known as property ownership, right? That's the term it's given mm-hmm. in legalese until recently, until I moved here. I sort of always bought into the philosophy of the Native Americans, which is no one owns planet Earth, right? You cannot own physically a plot of land that is 1 acre or 5 acres or whatever. You
can true.
You can live on a piece of property that is that large, and you can farm a piece of property that is, you know, large or larger than that, or you can defend a piece of property.
Well,
that's
now hold
that
on,
large.
Though.
But like,
now,
but like,
if you farm that property, though, you own those crops, right?
Correct.
Okay, so then someone can't come along and be like, "I'm going to take the dirt from these crops."
Correct.
Right.
In the same way that, like, if I'm a Native American and I found, like, a tree, or, like, they used to do this for real. They would find a small seedling tree, and they would bend it in a certain way and tie it so that it grew in a bent way, and then when it reached maturity, they would chop it down and make a bow out of that for their bow and arrow.
Mm.
Right? So this actually happened. Now, that's mixing your labor with nature mm-hmm. to create an item that, like, I don't think anyone on planet Earth would be like, "No, Captain, if you did all that work, that's not yours." Right? Mm-hmm. Everyone on planet Earth would be like, "Oh, wow, you went to great lengths to accomplish this."
Well, I wouldn't
fine
go with everyone on
art.
Planet Earth. I mean,
you know,
I wouldn't even go with the majority, because they would ask the question, whose land was that on?
Fair question.
And ultimately, what they are fundamentally asking is which state entity gave who permission to use that spot of land.
Right. And so the unrecognition of state entities being able to, or even individuals for that matter, anyone, doesn't matter what you call yourself or your organization, right? I bought into the fact that, like, no humans, no organization of humans, no organization of animals actually owns planet Earth. Planet Earth owns us, right? If you want to look at it in an ownership capacity, right? Planet Earth owns us. When planet Earth is tired of human beings, watch out. We're done, right? When planet Earth is like, you guys have gone too far, you're done. Planet Earth will take us out in seconds, far easier than any tyrant would have ever thought it could be done, right? So, like, in that respect, I kind of, I don't know what the right word is. I don't want to say sympathize, but I kind of respect the philosophy of the Native Americans where they're like, it's like planet Earth is not a thing that you can
own.
And
I still think you're falling into that sense of property where it's who has the power. And it's not a question of does the Earth have the power to eliminate humans. It is a question, did the Earth put in labor to make us? Did we get cultivated by our environment? And I would say yes.
Hmm.
So in that sense, you know, if we were to establish that the Earth itself had agency, then I would say, yeah, we are the Earth's property. Because if it has agency, then this clearly doesn't look like a mistake to me. This doesn't look like an accident. This looks like it was intentional and
very, very well thought out. I think humans exist on planet Earth intentionally. Right, as a result of nature going, what should we do next? Right, evolution, if you will, in my opinion, is nature going, how do we make Earth better?
Yeah,
right.
And
now,
and essentially, that's putting things in the right structure. Like we do not own the unstructured universe.
Right.
We, if anything, belong to the universe.
Right.
If anything.
Right.
Now, if on the other hand. You own your body, then you have to own the effects.
Right.
Now, if those effects are terrible, you have to pay for that.
Right.
And if those effects are great, you get to benefit from that.
And the universe owning us isn't mutually exclusive to us owning ourselves.
Mm.
It's entirely possible for both things to exist simultaneously. Right? Like, I can own myself. Of course I own myself. Who else is going to own me?
Well, the United States federal government, of
well,
course.
Well, and, you know, your slave master and, you know, that kind of thing, if, depending on your circumstances.
Well, no, that is the fundamental and simple question. Does your body belong to you or society? And unfortunately, most people at this point believe that it is society.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They absolutely do. And what I would say is that as long as you can leave those people's grasp, then you're not their slave, but they'll sure treat you like they are so long as you're within their grasp.
That's a fact. And the worst form of it is when you enforce it on yourself. As long as we think in those terms, in those ways of who can force who to do what, then they will emerge the victor.
Well, think about this for a second. Is society generally considers male lives to be disposable compared to female lives? Where did we get that from?
Oh, nature. And I'd be happy to talk about it on the other side.
We've got more to talk about coming up, plus more about this lady in Arizona about to lose her $400,000 house for a $1,600 tax bill. And will Julian Assange go free? We'll talk about all that coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.